Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and thank you so much for tuning in to listen to Hannah's Heart today, whether you're listening on the radio or if you're now listening to it as a podcast. We just thank you so much for your time to come on and give our show a listen, and we hope that we can be there for you somehow or another as you hear these stories on our program, if you're walking through infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you just know someone who is, then we encourage you to still stick around and listen. To hopefully be encouragement to them. But on this show, you'll hear us talk about everything from trying for babies to, you know, walking through child loss sometimes, and adoption and foster care and a lot of things in between. And so we just appreciate you sticking around with us. Today we have on a returning guest. Actually, she was on the program last week. And if you listened to her, we started out, she walked us through her infertility story. We didn't exactly get finished, so we're going to continue that today, but she's walked through many years of infertility and has now adopted and walking through that phase of life and being, that sweet boy's mama and telling us about that, but they are still continuing to walk through infertility. And so, we're going to get to listen to her story. We ended the last show with talking about how she got pregnant finally, but then quickly realized that she was going to lose that pregnancy and that baby would be in heaven. And so we're going to start off right there with Dani Kapp on to tell us about her story today. So give her a listen. Dani, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, okay, so we are starting out at kind of a hard point. You know, a lot of our shows kind of start off with, we got married and we were happy and all the things. And so I feel like because of the way we ended the last show, getting into you, you know, getting pregnant naturally all of a sudden, and then to quickly realize that that pregnancy was going to end in miscarriage. And so it's kind of a hard part to, you know, start a show with, but what did that look like for y'all? You had, do you mind kind of retelling that story that you were telling at the last show?
Yeah. So about 6.5 years into our infertility journey, my husband and I were able to become pregnant naturally after a few years of just doing some different medications and whatnot. So the fact that it happened completely natural was just a huge surprise to us. And then on top of our first positive pregnancy test in 6.5 years, it all came as a huge shock. Yeah. We ended up having two early ultrasounds, and we were able to hear the heartbeat twice at about, trying to remember, it's a little fuzzy, but around close to 7 weeks. And then at our 8-week appointment, we went just for another checkup, and unfortunately, we just heard those dreaded words of not being able to find the heartbeat. And I remember sitting in that room next to my husband. It's the same ultrasound room that I had been going to for years, just, you know, looking, monitoring my cycle and my follicles, and it was surreal to go there the week before and finally hear a heartbeat and see like all of our, you know, work pay off. And then to go there the next week, just feeling confident. And then to have that basically just gut punch us. I remember looking over at my husband, and I feel like in that moment, I'm sure if anyone's experienced this, you kind of can relate to the fact that everything kind of just goes dark. Like I felt like I was kind of floating. Like I didn't feel, it was like an out of body experience. Like it just felt so, didn't feel real, but that this could not be happening. How, how could we have gone through 6.5 years of infertility and finally getting our miracle to just having it basically be ripped from us. We were asked to go sit in another little waiting room until the doctor could come see us. And then she pulled us into her room, and then she just started going over options. And again, I really don't remember much of it. I was out of it. We drove home silently. I feel like at that point I hadn't even cried, because again, it just didn't feel real. I just felt like I was just in this weird little world that was just not.
Well, it's like time stands still, but then like everything feels like it's spinning, just like,
yeah,
just out of control.
Oddest experience. And the first moment I started crying really was because we had to go pick up Levi from Nick's parents' house, and he knew we were going to go see the baby. Mm. He was there with us the week before, and thankfully he was not with us this day. But we had to go pick up Levi, and I just couldn't like fathom like us having to tell him what was going on. And it was another moment that was really, really just heartbreaking. Nick put him up on the counter, and Nick was already crying, and he was so confused, like, Daddy, why are you crying? What's going on? And Nick just looked at Levi and said, you know what, buddy, you know, the baby that we've been praying for, that we got in mommy's tummy, like, he said, God loves that baby so, so much that God just had to have that baby come up to him and be with him in heaven already. And Levi's little face, just looking at Nick's, like, tears kind of just started slowly rolling down. And he looks at him, and he goes, he puts his hands on Nick, and he goes, it's okay, Daddy. We could just pray for another one.
Oh, God.
And it was just one of those moments where I was reminded in that moment to remember who God is. And, like, that childlike faith was just super encouraging to me in that moment, that I was so wrapped up in the situation that, like, man, we just literally lost everything that we had been working so hard for. And, like, how was that just stripped away from us? But then my 5-year-old at the moment was just like, no, we could just pray. We can just keep praying, and God will give us another one. And it was just, like I said, just encouraging for my heart in that moment to just recognize who God is, and like that he's still good and that we still have him to go to. And I just really needed that in that moment. So the next few weeks were really just, again, more just of a blur. I don't feel like I've really ever been super depressed on our journey. I think I've found a lot of comfort in you know, my faith and whatnot, but those few weeks were pretty dark for me, and hard to kind of just get out of bed and accept reality. And for a while I was really struggling with just feeling anger, anger and just obviously overwhelming sadness. There's nothing like experiencing life and death happening within your own body. Like, it just, that's something that really, no one should have to experience that. And just accepting that for what it is was just really, really hard. And so struggling with that anger, and I've never really felt angry at God during our journey either. I've always found a lot of purpose within our pain, especially with my Instagram page and knowing that, like, God was using that for something so much greater. But in that moment, I felt like was really the first time I was struggling with anger and just asking him, like, why would you give us a baby to then just take it away, right?
Yeah.
And I was just wrestling with that thought over and over. And I do think that to a degree that is normal and healthy. But I didn't sit in that anger. I think what I would encourage anyone who is going through that, like, allowing yourself to go through those feelings and grieving is important and healthy, but, like, making sure that you're taking that anger or those, whatever those feelings that you're feeling, taking them to God and like letting him know, like, hey, like, I am struggling with this, and I am upset, and I am angry, and I don't understand. And, like, for me, that was really healing. And so I journaled a lot of my feelings in those first couple weeks, because I just didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
But I do think that handing those over to him was really what helped me kind of heal and to get myself out of that funk and out of feeling angry and just like, hey, I don't understand this, but I think over time I started to realize, you know, it's not really for me to understand. And I understand that in my relationship with God, that there are things that we're going to go through in life that we are not meant to understand. And so having that revelation through that experience, because I think that happened because I was not just sitting in my anger, but I was bringing that to him to where he could actually meet me there, right, and help me walk through that, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that it definitely does. Cause we lost a baby last year. I was 26 weeks. Yeah. And,
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. But that is what I've had to come to grips with too. Like, cause if I feel like even if the Lord like held my face in his hands and said, hey, this is why John Micah passed away, I don't think it would be a good enough reason, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, I've had to do the same thing, just kind of like leaning on like God, like there's in my heart, there's not going to be a good enough reason. And I'm not going to be able to understand. But I do have to still understand and acknowledge that you are still faithful and you are still good. And even on the hard days, that, you know, he does know best and he does still love us. Even when you can't feel it. Because, there's sometimes that if you don't choose to feel it, if you don't choose to still accept his love, then you might really miss out on it. You know what I mean? Like, not that he's not offering it, but not allowing yourself to really feel like he is, you know, in control and still taking care of him.
Closing your heart off to that for sure.
Yes,
I think like what you said about like reminding yourself of his faithfulness, and like I think what's important too in any journey that you're struggling with is just to bring yourself back to like the character of God and knowing that he is a good and faithful father, and like whatever it is that you're experiencing, like to know that he is good is just it gives you just a different perspective on your situation. And so for me, like that was a moment that I had to be very, very intentional with like reminding myself of like who God is, and like knowing that even though I was going through an awful circumstance, that didn't mean that my God was not good.
That's right. That's right. So, okay, what does life look like after that loss? Because for me, I know the few miscarriages that we've walked through, I've also experienced having healthy babies. I have now two sweet girls at home that are perfectly healthy, that I've had. But, like, pregnancy is still scary after walking through loss. How do you feel about, I mean, is that still a desire of yours to get pregnant again?
Yeah. So I did take a good amount of time off because I was pretty traumatized by all of it for a good while. We didn't start trying again. We experienced the miscarriage in February of 2023, and we didn't start trying again until like October, November of that same year. So I took a good amount of time off. But yeah, we started trying again, and we've been trying ever since. Kind of a little bit more relaxed about it, I feel like. We've had some other health things come up along the way over this last year that I've kind of had to put as priority. We still very much long to have a biological child and are still chugging along. And again, I'm still just working with my NAPRO doctor and believing that if God's done it before, he could do it again. And it's kind of just where I'm sitting at right now, just really just putting my trust in God's ability and or if not, like trusting that he will bring me a peace that I'm able to accept that if we don't ever get to have a biological child.
Yeah. I know just going back a few years before having our biological little girl. It's a hard place to get to. Before we had had her, we were in the process of foster care with our little boy, and he was not adopted yet, but I had finally come to grips like, God, if this is all you have for us, his adoption, because at the time his plan had been changed to adoption, but I finally was able to say, like, God, it's finally okay. I'm okay. If he is who you have for me, I'm okay, you know. And then it was almost a whirlwind of, then I got pregnant after 2 and 3 years of, you know, taking medicine and doing all the things. And we did we did 4 rounds of IUI, and those didn't work. And we were like, how you're saying, there was just, I don't disagree with people pursuing infertility at all, but I mean, not infertility, IVF, but we just never felt called to do it. And so, that was a hard place to get to, because my husband was, I don't know if you would say perfectly fine, but he felt strongly like that was not God's plan for us to pursue IVF. And I didn't understand. I was like, why? We want a baby. This is what you do. You know, if you're walking through infertility. And to get to the point of, okay, God, like, I'm okay if you change this desire for me. It's scary to say that. At least it was for me. Is that how you feel?
Oh, 100%. And I feel like we're at year 8, and I think both of us are really just really tired. This journey is very taxing and it could be hard on your relationship. You know, I'm grateful to say that I think we've really grown closer, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there's a lot of hardship and trauma attached to this that is hard. Just exhausted by it. And I feel like we're kind of both coming to the terms of, like, we are nearing the end of our journey, like, just mentally and physically. We don't want to put, like, a strict timeline on it, but I think we both are in agreement that, yeah, we're towards the end. And so that's a lot of pressure, I feel like, on my body, and then also just, like, on my, how do I want to word this? Like, just, I guess, waiting for God to kind of, like, change my heart on it, I guess. Like, if this is towards the end, like, man, can you just help me feel okay with this? And I don't know if I necessarily feel okay with it yet. I think I have become more willing to surrender a lot more of this situation over to him than I was before. Like, I felt like in years past, I've just had a firmer grip of trying to control things. And especially this last year, like I had mentioned before, we've kind of just been a little bit more relaxed about it all. And I think that is God kind of, you know, maneuvering through this and helping me feel a little bit more at ease. And, that's like a daunting thought to think, like, man, we could be almost done with this. And that could mean that we potentially walk away, like, never getting to that point of being able to have a biological child. And a lot of me like feels like I would be okay with that. But then the other half of me like thinks years down the road and wonders like, man, will I still feel okay with that 10 years from now? Or will I look back and think, man, we should have kept trying? And I think that's really hard for me to like not know how I'm going to feel years and years down the road. And I just don't want to have regrets. And I don't want to feel like maybe I missed out on something because I didn't just keep going. But the me moment feels just tired and want this season to just be over, whatever that may be.
Goodness. Well, and we didn't walk through infertility for as long as you have, but oh my goodness, it is so taxing financially. It becomes a part-time job just about, you know, keeping up with everything. And then, talk about, you know, a relationship, and it's relationships and marriage are hard anyway. And now you've got a little boy that's, you know, it's so many things. And so, I encourage anyone who might be listening to this to pray for Dani and her husband as they, you know, make these decisions. And because if you've walked through infertility at all, I feel like I need to just give you a hug right now, because all this is so heavy, and you're not meant to carry it alone. And looking through your Instagram page, it looks like you are surrounded by a good community. Would you say that?
Yeah. We have been so blessed there.
there was one thing you put on there at one point. It said, surround yourself with women who sit at the feet of Jesus. The conversations sound different. The suffering looks different. The encouragement feels different. You walk away from each other feeling inspired, not inferior, because those are women who you know your life together isn't a competition, but rather a race you run hand in hand towards the greatest victory any of you will ever know. And I just loved that, because with infertility, or with anything, but with infertility, it kind of can feel like a competition sometimes, you know, of like, well, yeah, she's getting another baby shower, another, you know, I'm forgetting what I'm saying right now, gender announcement, that kind of thing, you know. And so, yeah, just you pointing out who to surround yourself with. What would you say about your community of like, how do you find those people? What do you look for in the girls that you hang out with?
Sorry, I'm like, now I'm crying after you reading that, because that has been like the biggest blessing in our journey. I'm not sure what we would do without our community. And that was actually another huge God thing. We found them at church. I get lots of questions all the time, like, how do you find a group like this? And I'm like, man, God just blessed us with this community through going to church. And for us specifically, I, in the midst of our infertility journey, I started serving in student ministry because I just needed a way to still mother, even if it meant that they weren't my own children. And so I started doing that in 2018, and then my husband was deployed, but when he got home, he started doing that alongside of me. And through that ministry is where we basically found all of our friends and who has been walking alongside us through this. And I think back to like, man, if I had gotten that baby when we first started trying, like I had thought I was going to, like what I wanted, I can't say for sure, but I probably would not have jumped into serving in student ministry. Mm-hmm. Like I would have had a newborn at home. My husband would have been overseas. Like I just wouldn't have had the bandwidth to do that. But because God did not answer that prayer when I asked him to, I involved myself in church. Yeah. And that's where, like I said, we found our community. And I just think that God knew what he was going to be asking us to walk through. And he provided us with that support through that ministry. And I started crying. Like, it makes me so emotional, because I think having a community through something like this is just so extremely important. Like, infertility can feel so lonely and isolating. And even though none of these women have experienced infertility and quite frankly are very fertile and all have tons of children, they have just shown me so much love and support. Mm-hmm. And they have prayed over us, like hands on us, night after night at Bible study. They have set their alarms for every hour for like a day and would just pray for us every single hour. And just things of that nature. They came to our house when we miscarried, and I came home and our island was just full of cards and gift cards for food. So we didn't have to think about, you know, finding meals for us, the basket full of blankets and goodies and just everything that you can think of that we would need for the next like week to just get through that. Just over and over, countless times of showing up for us. And again, that was just through church and involving yourself in being, like I said, being surrounded by people who have the same morals and values and just want to be there for you and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And they've done that for us time and time again. And I'm just so thankful.
Wow. That's amazing. What would you say, you've kind of just hit on it though, but if someone's listening and they have a best friend or a sister or, you know, a cousin, you know, whatever, that's walking through infertility, what would you say to do for them?
I would say to not ever, like, ignore it. I think a lot of times people feel uncomfortable bringing it up or acknowledging it because it's a sad situation. But for me at least, I feel like it's always nice when someone acknowledges, hey, what you're going through is hard, instead of just ignoring it. Like, for instance, if you find out that you're pregnant and you need to tell them that you're pregnant, I have found, like, the best way to do that is to do it over a text message. Yeah. And I know a lot of people think that that seems super impersonable, but for us who are experiencing infertility and someone telling us that they're pregnant, especially someone we love, like, we are happy for you, but if you're telling us that in person, it feels like we're put on the spot and yes. we have to, like, respond in a certain way. And really, we just need time to kind of process it and be sad for ourselves. And then I would say, generally speaking, we all come around to, like, being able to celebrate that for you because we love you and we are happy for you and we understand the blessing that it is. And we want that for the people in our lives. But in the moment, it's really hard. So my friends have done a, like, amazing job at that, and just texting me and, again, acknowledging, hey, like, I know this is going to be super hard for you to hear, and then also giving you, like, the out of responding. You don't need to respond right now. Take your time. Whenever you're ready, like, you can come back to this. Or just making you not feel pressured to respond in a certain way or a certain time frame has been very, very helpful.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Hannah's Heart.